You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I'm your host for the Best Practices Show, I think, because today we're going to be taking, as we do every day, taking a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over and the best thinkers. And I'm just telling you right now, if you're tuning into this podcast today, if you're listening on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, wherever, I have got one of the most amazing human beings ever. Our relationship started as I was coaching him, and now I will tell you, he mentors me way more than I mentor him, and that's how these things are supposed to go. And so I'm telling you, you're going to learn something amazing today, and we're going to unpackage one of my favorite topics of all time that dentists have been on the eternal search for. Is balance attainable? Like, is it truly attainable? And what does it mean? And what have you learned with Dr. Kevin Groth? So don't miss this. Now, if you're here for the first time, I want to do a couple things. Number one, I always want to welcome you. I don't understand this. Like, we do all these videos. You guys never watch them. I'm totally cool with it. I say that every time, but it's true. Like, the audio downloads are off the charts, which I love. But do me a favor. If you're here for the first time, if you're a young dentist and you're listening to the podcast, just go down to that little subscribe button. You see where it's at? Just hit the subscribe button because I want you to keep showing up with us. You're going to see every single week. I'm going to have Kevin back as a regular guest all the time. And then you're going to see I also have a bunch of other influencer speakers showing up every single week to give you great tips, great thought processes to help you create a better practice and a better life. And I don't want you to miss out. So make sure you hit the subscribe button. Also, too, some of you ask, like, what the heck do you do? We are practice coaches. So let me just say this. Like, if you're a dentist and you own your own practice and you're like, okay, you know, things aren't the greatest here. Like, I don't like how hard I work. Like, that's what we do. Give us a call. Like, don't work so hard. If you're like, I don't know, I want my team to get along a little bit better, and I don't like, two people are fighting at the front and I got one person in the back that doesn't like another person in the front. Don't do that anymore. Give us a call. Or if you don't like writing off 35 or 40% of your, you know, production to all these PPOs, I would say don't do that anymore. So check us out at actdental.com, where we think one thing. Like, dentistry is the greatest profession ever. I want you to remember that. It's the greatest profession ever. There's no rules. You can have a better practice and a better life, but it has to start with how you think. That's why today's episode is so fun for me, because you're going to see a great thinker in dentistry. And if you get this early in your career, it sets you up for a whole bunch of other fun stuff called life. So my guest today is Dr. Kevin Groth. And Kevin, I always like people. Now, if you've been listening to the COVID conference, if you listen to everything we do, if you've been on ACTU, you know who Dr. Kevin Groth is. But if somebody's listening for the first time, I want them to know who they're listening to. Who's Dr. Kevin Groth?
Yeah, it's good to be back. I appreciate the invite. It always is fun to kind of hop on with you. And I've said this all along. I remember listening to all these different podcasts, being so inspired by all your guests and such an incredible host. And I don't know, it's fun to be bigger. I'm a general dentist out of Metro Detroit. And it's one of those things that I love my life. I have a fairly good balance of life. You know, it's a topic of today, but I will say also there was a time in my life 5 years ago that I was not in that position. And then I met Kirk Barron at the AGD meeting in 2017, and everything changed after that. So I'm not going to say I figured it all out, because I don't think anybody can figure out balance of life, because life is always a fluid thing and things are changing on a daily basis. So you can't ever say that, you know, I got all the answers here. But I also found that over the course of 5 years, I've kind of refined a lot of things that I have a fairly decent balance of life. So when you asked me to come on here and talk about this, it was quite an honor, because I worked hard at this. And I think it's something that I would love to share it and hope I can inspire others to have a similar type of trajectory.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I always like to start with a little bit of data on this, because I'm a big fan of yours. I'm so proud of you. But you're how old today as time we're shooting this?
34.
You're 34 years old. When you started this journey in dentistry, you were working how many days a year? Now, you had a unique situation in your practice and now it's different, but how many day clinical days were you working?
Yeah, we were talking about this. I mean, it was Monday through Friday, sometimes some Saturdays, but really it was probably 225 days, I would say. I think I counted that up in 2018, I think around that time, with my coach Christina, when I was working as an ACT dental client. Props to the ACT program for flipping around my office as well as you guys have. But yeah, now I'm down to kind of 160 and keep dropping that number, because I found a nice way to tune those dials that we talk about all the time and figure out what works for me and what doesn't. So
wait. Okay, so you went from 200 some days to 160, and like, did your income plummet too? Like, are you making a whole lot less money type of thing?
Well, it increased, which I don't know what kind of magic it is. You've always talked about this, but it doesn't make any sense to me, you know, mathematically. But for some reason, you do find a sense of purpose in things that you want to do, and you become more efficient with it. And then when you have the right team around you to support you, everything gets a lot easier. Everything is far more manageable. And I found that just got to get the right people in the right seats and get out of their way. And that's really what we have done. And you always talk about it, that Pete Dawson always says, you can work, you can double your production working half the time and a quarter of the effort. And that's really what it has become. So I'm very fortunate to have some mentorship. And as much as, you know, I share with you, you've changed my life. So that's also something that I cannot not talk about, because it started with you.
And if anybody hangs around with us long enough, you're going to see these aren't my ideas. These are all things that we've learned from the people of the shoulders that we've had a chance to, you know, stand on. I don't know if stand on is a good idea, but like, we've learned from, and they paid it forward, you know, Pete Dawson. And then I know that you're going to inspire a whole generation of dentists behind us. And I think that's what's so noble about this profession. But Kevin, you got to open this can up for us, because the word balance gets thrown around a lot. Let's talk about how heavy this topic is and the why behind it before we start to unpackage. So is balance attainable? Tell me the story behind that topic.
Yeah, I think everybody talks about it, you know, not just dentists, but everybody. I mean, I was getting my haircut last week and she had a panic attack, and it was because she's overworking herself. Or I was talking to my brother-in-law about what he wants to do professionally and how it facilitates a balance of life. And I was reading Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights, and he talked about the same exact principles of trying to attain that balance that we're always looking for. So no matter who you are and what you're doing in life, I think it's important to recognize that nobody's figured it out. But those that have gotten better at it probably have struggled with it far more in their past, myself included, and learned how to get away from it. So 5 years ago, I had no direction in terms of what I was doing. I was just working like crazy, and I didn't know what my purpose was, who I was, and ultimately led to just kind of just running at a high pace all the time until you start crashing. And I had a panic attack when I was in Cabo with my wife. I couldn't breathe. And that was a sign of saying, okay, you got to slow it down and figure out what is happening to you. And what it really came to is the person I was 5-6 years ago is not who I was. And what I was doing did not align with that. And I think it begins with all those internal realizations. And I did an ACTU presentation not too long ago on this topic of self-discovery. And the important things with self-discovery is identifying who you are at your core. Because if you can identify who you are at your core, that will drive why you do something to give you a purpose. And then once you know your who and your why, then you can realize what you do and how you do it kind of fit into that mold. So an idea behind that is using your emotions that we all have that are uncontrollable, automatic, and instantaneous to drive your internal compass. So we all experience things on a daily basis, but we just a lot of times tune out our emotions because we don't want to deal with it. And once you start listening to those emotions and really reflecting on it, it becomes more of a self-awareness. And then that self-awareness becomes something where you become more knowledgeable of who you are. And then that can kind of drive everything else.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great thought leaders out there, great literature that say, start with your why. And today, go back to that. So the who comes before the why in this particular form, at least for you. And I want you to open that up a little bit too, because if you're a dentist listening to this, this isn't a flippant like, oh, I know who I am. I'm a 32-year-old dentist. It's a process of self-discovery. I say people like, you almost have to get out there and do it for a while to go, oh, this is not how I like to do it. I used to joke that people need to go on to continuing education to see like, oh, I'm a single column dentist. I'm not a five column. Is that true in that respect? On the who?
Entirely true. Yeah. I think I always had trouble with Simon Sinek because he talks about start with why. I didn't even know who I was at the time. So I couldn't start with why because I didn't know who I was. So I think the first thing with anybody who's in that point of their life trying to discover themselves, you gotta start with who I'm not and eliminate some of those things that you say, okay, this is not me. This is not me. This is not me. And eventually it does kind of lead you down a path to then discover this is me. And I can give you some examples, especially right now with the Olympics. Olympians have a very difficult time once they're done with the Olympics because for so much of their life that they devoted for 10, 15, 20 years, I'm going to be an Olympian. I'm doing this for this 2020 Olympic Games or 2021 Olympic Games now. But once that 30 seconds is done or once that minute and a half competition that they've done, they hit a very high level of depression and anxiety afterwards because they don't know who they are. Everything about who they are is based on the what that they're doing. And it's sad to me, but that's what happens with these Olympians is that they struggle so hard. And that's why they have substance abuse issues and suicidal tendencies because at their core, they had their identity shaped on what they were doing. That's a little bit more a drastic example, but I see it a lot of times with my patients that are 60. So 60 comes and a lot of times these 60-year-olds, their kids are all independent adults. They got married, started having children. Their retirement life phase is now in full force. And most of what they've done for the vast majority of their life has been based around their children and their job. So when those are done, now they're sitting back and saying, I don't know who I am because my identity was based on what I was doing.
Right.
So I think it's something that it's so important, no matter what phase you are in life, to know who you are, and it drives how you do something, myself included.
Yeah. And one of the things, like I'm going to point out some things. I hope you don't mind. Like,
go for it.
You know, because you're a young dentist, you've been on a lot of webinars, you've been on a lot of things, you've been asked to speak, you've been asked to teach at some major organizations. And there are times you've said to me, I don't know, I'm not going to do it. And I'm not as smart as you. At your age, I would have gone, yeah, I'm jumping on a plane, I'm going to do it. And I think if you were to speak to like who you are, we're, you know, everything, we could date everything you say today because it might change. But like, what drives that for you even today?
I think it starts with identifying once you know who you are. So what are the essential things in your life? Right. So to me, when I can list the 3 to 5 things that really give me purpose and direction, it really simplifies things down to what do I want to devote my time and energy to, as well as what are some things that bring me joy in my life? Because then if you can surround yourself with the bulk of what you do based on your essentials, and then you fill in those little spaces with some of the joys, there's a far more meaningful fulfill purpose out of your life that a lot of people just kind of don't really have, to be honest with you. So to me, the essentials, to me, I can label it as my health is my number one priority because I have to be my best self at all times in order to give myself to other people and other things. So my fitness, I'm really working on my emotional health, my stability, you know, well-being spiritually, whatever you encounter, you got to surround yourself with things that boost that on a daily basis. Other things that I do with my time would be my time with my wife. It's important. And my time with my daughter. And I separate those because they're different relationships. Right. And then I also throw in my career there because not that that's more valuable than the first three priorities, but at the same point, my career does influence the first three pieces of that. So yeah. If I'm overworked and I'm run down at work, my physical and mental health is not going to be at its highest level. Right. If I'm overworked, I'm not going to be able to give as much to my wife and as much time to my daughter as I need to. So that is really what's important to me. And on top of that, I guess the last piece would really be what we call margin. There's the book Margin, which I loved reading over quarantine based on your recommendation. And basically he talks about saying, we should never give 100% of ourselves. We should always give 80% of ourselves, because if we give 80% when asked upon, we have 20% to give. But if we're running ourselves ragged, if we don't have the energy, if we don't have the means to give when we are asked upon, that's when you get burnout. That's when you get stressed. That's when you get anxiety, depression, whatever it may be, because you've run yourself ragged and you don't have the opportunity to do more with it.
Right. Yeah. And the book we're talking about is by Dr. Richard Swenson. And for me, I've read it many times. And the one thing that helped me so much in that book, now I'll warn you, it's a frightening book, because he just speaks to the truth of the speed of the world. And one of the things he said in the book was that deep subjective pain that you're feeling, he tells you where it's coming from. You know, so because a lot of us feel this pain or this burden, there's anxiety, and you always try to figure out where is this coming from. Well, the fact was, I couldn't breathe. You know, I couldn't, I was working too hard. I had nothing left over for the things that matter. I love. And so, Kevin, go back to this. Now, one other thing too, because I know your story, like also to point to this, this is a very real challenge. You're talking, you know, you're not one of those guys that just wears flip-flops all day and listens to Jimmy Buffett and then just discovered, well, I'm going to work less. I mean, you work hard at the things that matter at work so you can have these other things, right? It wasn't like, oh, I just took a couple days off and I started focusing on my family and things got better. I mean, you have to understand that these things compete for resources. They compete for energy. They compete for your time, right?
That's exactly it. And it's also listening to yourself. You know, I recognize when I am out of balance in my life is that I physically and mentally change as a person. I don't have the patience for people. I don't have the energy. I'm run down. I am tired. I have kind of that jittery feeling that you just want to just explode. And that's not my best self. And I avoid that at all costs. You know, and I've done that very strictly over the last at least 3 years now, because I never want to get back to that position. And if I even start feeling an inkling of that, I make some changes. And that's the beauty of all this is with balance, you know, we'll talk more about this, but it's all just a dial system. And where you devote your energy to is important to fuel those things. And also saying no to the things that are not bringing you to those points of balance.
Okay, so I'm a 32-year-old dentist. I'm a few years behind you, and I'm feeling this stress. Tell me about the dials. Like, what are your dials, and how do you use these dials?
Yeah, well, I mean, look at it as a pie chart. So we have a clock, and that clock has different segments, and how you devote your energy and time is thrown into this pie chart. And as you said in 2017, when I first met you, you said the happiest people I know are the ones that have the simplest lives. And that's so important, because essentially you're saying, how much do you divide up that pie? And the fewer slices of that pie, the more energy and time you can devote to it. So for me, I have 5 slices. And that's the bare minimum I can have. And with those 5 slices, now I can divide up an ideal world, 20%. It's never that way, but let's just go with that for an example here. But sometimes life happens. You know, I'll use an example where, let's say my wife and I went on a trip. And recently we got back. And I love trips because it fuels my pieces, right? It helps me with my own well-being. So it grows that pie for my own, you know, sanity and well-being. It grows my time with my wife, you know, on that slice, and margin, because I'm doing things like, I don't know, playing golf or things that bring me joy. So my margin is in really good shape. So 100% of that pie is devoted to those 3 pieces. But the time with my daughter's neglected because I wasn't with her. And the time at my career was that way, was nearly nothing because I wasn't at home. So when I come back out of work, now I have to pick up those pieces that I left off. So I need to devote more energy to my wife, or more energy to my daughter, more energy to my career. My marginal slice is getting narrower and narrower because I'm trying to get back into a routine that's rhythmic. On top of that, you know, then asked upon, this was just a recent example, so I'll use it. So when we got back from my trip, my sister asked me to put together a playground. I didn't have time. I didn't have energy to give to that. And I hated it because it basically said to her, I don't have the margin to give you to this. Right. And I would love to. And normally I would be there all the time, but I just got back from this trip, and me saying yes to you to put together your playground is saying no to more of my time and my daughter that I have to pick up those pieces, my wife and my career and my own health, which are things that are far more valuable than a playground. And I'm doing that in the best way possible. But so often times in life, we say yes to these other things, and these obligatory margin suckers take away and detract from the things that are really valuable.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, love to key at works a lot of times. Now, you mentioned before, like marginal obligations. Like, can you explain that term? Because I love that term that you use.
We only have a finite amount of time in our margin. So in that slice, you have to be very selective in terms of what you do with that slice. I like filling that margin time with things that drive me forward, that fill up my cup and not detract from things. But so oftentimes we're asked upon to do things that are obligations that aren't really all that important, but we say yes because it's harder to say no. So we do that, but at the same point, it also takes away time that we would be devoting to other things that would fill us up and will drive us forward and give us purpose. And I don't know, I think that was probably one of the best things I started doing was 2 or 3 years ago, I started saying no. And it's not because I want to be insulting. It's not because I want to ruin relationships with anybody. It's just something that in my place of life at this moment, there are things that are more valuable and important to me than saying yes to those obligations. But if I had also had the capacity to say yes to it, I will. It's just most of the time I don't.
Yeah.
And that's what balance is.
Yeah. And also talk about this. I want you to talk about the 5 slices of the pie. Sometimes you can combine slices.
Sure.
Bigger part of the pie. Can you describe that concept that you use?
That's when everything hits, the rubber hits the road in that capacity, right? So one of the things I would use an example of is I love going for walks with my wife and daughter because it's a nice way to physically and emotionally kind of become a very, I don't know, better self, right? So that helps with that self-wellness portion. Time with my wife uninterrupted where we're just walking, we're not on our phones, we're not doing anything. It's a great time for us to connect. I like the time with my daughter because we usually either go get her a bagel or we always go to the playground or something like that. So she feels connected with us because we're doing something with her. So those 3 pieces of that pie are now fulfilled based on what we're using margin for. So I love having some things that combine all those aspects that you can kind of exponentially grow with those because you're combining them all, if that makes some sense.
It makes perfect sense. I'll never forget, I had a mentor of mine years ago and he said this to me and this hurt really bad. He said, Kirk, why'd you have kids? And I was like, oh, I love this question. He goes, I don't need to know the answer. You do. I was like, oh, that hurt like really bad because he was making a very good, I don't need to know the answer. You do. And I was like, oh crap. Now I want to go back to this too, Kevin, because again, I know more about you and I think any dentist would hear what you're saying and saying, I love that. Like there's a reason I did this. But one of the questions I ask dentists is, this is a great one because it tells me a lot. What's a typical life week in your life look like? And they go, oh yeah, I usually get to work at 7 and then I work until 6. I'm like, well, when do you exercise? Well, I don't. Do you have dinner with your family? I don't. Can you tell us what's a typical week in your life look like? Because you had to master the challenges of saying yes to everything from a time standpoint during the day in order for this to work on the days that you weren't working, right?
Yeah. That's the beauty of dentistry is that we as dentists have the option to choose how we want to work. And I know that sounds, you know, dreamy and all these different components, but it's so true. So when you look at things, you can determine how many days a week you want to work. You can determine how your hours are. You can determine how much vacation time you want to take out of the week or out of the year. So when you start looking at things from that level, you're recognizing the value of your time. So I know some people, I have Thursdays off, but I go into the office to do admin work. Well, that's not a day off. You're still going to work. So when we sat down as a team, we came up with a vision of what we wanted out of our life, what we wanted, what our practice life to look like. And when we came up with that, it became something where we value our time with our family and ourselves. So how do we structure our hours to facilitate that? So now, you know, we either come in on 9 to 3 some days, 7 to 2 some days, because we're getting in, getting out, whatever it may be. And it really allows us to have so much time outside of the office to give to what we really find more important in our lives. Because this work does not define who I am. It doesn't give me a purpose. It's just something that is a part of me, but it's not everything for me.
Right. So you're not there at 7:30, opening up everything, turning on all the computers, sweeping the front step, and then making sure everybody clocks out when they leave at 5 o'clock. I'm being facetious because there's something else that you learned. You pointed to this earlier, to put all these things together and have balance. You use the word capable this week, like with me. You're like, no. When you get this right, you find these people that are capable and then you hand it to them and you'll find that they can go farther. That's a big part of you having that margin in your life. Would you agree?
Yeah. You have to delegate. I mean, when I first started, I felt like I had to do everything. And that was the hardest part for me, was I had to have some type of personal touch with every single patient experience. And while that was a helpful thing in terms of my development growth, it became very stressful. I felt like I couldn't let go of anything. I had to do it all. And really the effect of my outreach was just as far as I can extend. So once you start finding people that are capable and are people that are excellent with what they do and far better than what I can do on many, many different levels, they get it. You know, I trust them and I put that trust into them, and they help expand the ripple effect that goes far beyond what I was capable of. And I started realizing that we started having a really great team when I looked at our Google reviews, and most of the reviews have no mention of my name anymore. And that's the best thing in the world, because all of a sudden they're mentioning people at the front desk. They're mentioning people, my assistants, my associate, Dr. Miller, far more often than I only get mentioned, which some people egotistically would say that's a problem. But for me, that's the best blessing, because it tells me that I have a team that I'm capable of with, and we can have a maximum impact on a lot of other people based on everyone having a piece to that puzzle, as opposed to just being on your shoulders.
Yeah, that's one thing I know about you. You love other people's successes, and nobody cares. Everybody wins when nobody gets any. No one cares who gets the credit.
Mm-hmm. For things. I mean, I was in the shoes of other people listening to these podcasts before, where I was listening to this while I was cutting the grass when I was 28 or 29, and very overwhelmed, thinking that this was not attainable. I know there are a lot of people out there that are associates at different offices or struggling to start up a business, or people that I don't want to be intimidating in this regard, because I want people to know that this is something that is totally doable. You just have to make steps to do it. You have to admit that this is something that's not working for you. You have to find a time to devote to yourself, to come up with a vision with what you want out of your life based on who you are. Right. And when you can do that, I mean, I please contact me. I'm happy to help anybody. I really want to, because it's one of my purposes is to learn from other people like yourself, Kirk, and all the people that have shared their wisdom and knowledge and experience that in my own perspective and put it into action. Because I think a lot of people hear these things, but they don't take action with it. And once you take action, you can experience it, and then you can learn what works for you.
Yeah.
And then the beauty of that all is that once I figured out what worked and what didn't work, now I can pass it on and share it to other people. And having that influence and impact on other people, it's the most profound thing you can do in your life. And that's what I'm here for, is to share this, because it's not here to brag. It's not here to come across as look at me. I want people to see this and be inspired that they can have this too, because I have a great balance of life. You know, and I think it's something that it's not perfect at all, but I'm very attuned to it. And I know when to change those dials and alter those pieces based on where I'm at on a daily basis to try and fulfill some type of balance.
Yeah. And I learn from you all the time, and I wish I was as smart or half as smart as you at your age. And every time we talk, I get a little bit better clarity on what I need to do. But also to speak to this, we have to be able to make decisions in the moment. Once you figure out the who and the why, like I canceled on you last week. So, and I felt terrible about it, you know, and I don't do that often. So can you, and you said you were going to call me out on the air on the cancellation. So can you just talk about the nature of that and how we mutually agreed? And I thanked you for that, you know, so that you let me off the hook. But talk about that moment of like how, where you are in life. There are sometimes you just got to make decisions and you got to give them.
The fact of the matter, I canceled on you first. And you don't recognize that, but I looked at my schedule and I canceled on you.
Yeah.
And it's because that week that started, as I look at my schedule, I say, I don't feel like I'm in balance.
Right.
And what can I do out of this schedule to cut things out so that I can figure out where I need to be?
Right.
And I looked at this, I said, okay, I have the podcast with Kirk. I'm going to reschedule that for 2 weeks from now. And we did that. And you did the same thing because your daughter has a graduation. That's a crazy time of life, you know, but essentially by you canceling on me, and we don't cancel on each other all the time, you know, that would be something that'd be an entirely different topic, because you shouldn't say yes to things if you're canceling that often. But in those moments where you're not in line with where you need to be, it's good to say no to those certain options, to give yourself more time and energy to devote the things that are more important. I am not more important than your wife and daughter's graduation and all the things that require your energy and input during that time.
Right.
And I appreciate that you're somebody that can say no to me. And I respect you so much for that, because it tells me that you value things at the right purpose. Because so many times I've done this in the past, is I say yes to those other things. And what is sacrifice? It's the time, the things that are far more important on that level, but they're the easiest to say no to because they're family.
Yeah. And you love and care for this next generation of dentists and even your friends and colleagues that are your age, you know, and you get to hear their stories, you know, and you're like, oh no, what do you think dentists get wrong most about the word balance? Like, what do you think they're like, no, that you'd say, hey, look, there's something else to consider when it comes to the word balance.
They don't know who they are. So if you don't know who you are, you don't know what to fill your time with.
Right.
Because that's really what it comes to, is you got to discover yourself first and foremost. And once you understand who you are, then that drives the why you do something. And then that drives how and what you do. But so oftentimes we find these external things that are the what's that this next job is going to find fulfillment and happiness, or this next house is going to make me happy, or whatever it may be. And that's it's a constant rat race to try and keep up with those what's.
Yeah.
I don't need a whole lot because I know who I am.
Yeah. Do you think your who will change as you age? Like, maybe not fundamentally, but like you might say to yourself, look, I have different interests. I might have another kid. I might have another thing. Like, do you think that'll change over time?
I think the who doesn't change, but I think the what will always change.
Okay.
Because I right now devote a lot of my time and energy to my daughter, but God willing, I hope she's capable enough to be independent one day, where I don't have to devote that much energy to her. And that's the best compliment as a parent, is when your kid becomes independent. But so oftentimes I see all my patients, not all of them, but a lot of patients struggle with that independence, because it means that now who actually was the dependent one in that relationship? And that's a hard thing to realize, is that maybe the parent was the one that was clinging on more than the actual child.
Right.
So right. It will change. What I do will change. There's no doubt about that. But at this moment, you know, I'm comfortable with where I'm at. And that's why we said off the air on our conversations on a weekly basis, is I don't know if I want to commit to a lot of these offerings that come my way, because it means that it's going to sacrifice certain times that I can devote to the things that actually really do matter to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the pure value of time and where your energy goes all the time. I was talking to another parent yesterday. You would appreciate this. When our kids were little, we used to play soccer like every Saturday. And my wife and I, we loved lightning on Saturday mornings. Like, 'cause as soon as there was lightning, everything was canceled for the whole. Our kids would stand there with the shin guards in the kitchen and go, why are you guys so happy? Like, it's 90. I go, it's lightning. Woo! I'd go IHOP, and they go, we're not going to IHOP. We're going to IHOP. But it wasn't the soccer, the lighting. It was, now we had time. We had time.
That's it.
We were all going to be together. She wasn't going to be on another field. And I love all that stuff, but it was like, wow, we've just been given a gift of lightning and a day and a breakfast at IHOP or something like that. And even, yes, was it last Thursday? I'm like, where are you going? I hear your daughter giggling in the back. You're like, I don't know. We're going to kind of, I'm like, that is absolutely fantastic when you can choose what to do with your days.
Having the options make you far more intentional with what you're doing with your time. Because again, if you're picking and choosing what you have to do instead of what you want to do, it has a different purpose and meaning behind it. Yeah. So I don't know. I become very selective about what it is. And I hope that people learn my lesson from this, because I learned from acting on that. Because for a while there, my life was not even close to being in balance. And I was doing things out of a fulfillment of what I felt was necessary, what was making me successful, based on someone else's purpose or vision of what is success in their mind. And that's just not my vision or goal. Yeah. And when you're living in someone else's shoes, it really is not as fulfilling or satisfying.
Yeah. Now I'm going to ask you this question. I'm probably going to predict the answer. You're going to say, figure out who you are. Okay. So Kevin, let's say I'm you. I go to Cabo. I feel exactly what you're feeling. I'm not doing what I'm, you know, called to do. And I know you're going to say, figure out who you are, but what if I'm struggling in figuring out who I am? Like, I know what you're saying, but like, I'm struggling with getting really clear about those steps. What kind of advice would you give me?
I think you need to talk to somebody. You know, for me, I feel very fortunate that I have my wife to lean on for a lot of that. And I could be completely vulnerable. I think that moment in Cabo really changed our relationship because it dropped all guards and allowed me to really be open with her and honest about the positions I was in life and the how I was feeling towards certain things. And she likewise did the same thing. And we've sculpted and changed a life based on where we were and how we were feeling at the time with that. But that also put me into therapy. You know, my patient, just by happenstance, life comes that way. Is my patient the next week came to my office. I started talking to him and he said, you know, if you ever want to talk to me, I'm around. I'm happy to help. So I called him up and I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I met with him once a week for a couple of years. And it wasn't like I was unhashing. I feel very privileged that I didn't have any like childhood traumas or anything like that, but it was more just using daily life, mundane experiences and reflecting on them that shaped me into the man and the business owner and the dentist and the father I am today. Because I've become very good at looking at my emotions and how they relate to what I am doing that drove me into directing who I was. People are not emotional. You know, people don't want to have those hard dialogues with themselves and they'd rather just tune it out. Or go to drugs and alcohol, whatever it may be, because it's so hard to be honest with yourself. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. And I think that's important to understand that drive as well.
Yeah, buddy, it's so great to hear you say these things. And I know you do this for a lot of dentists. I'm just telling you, if you're a young dentist or a dentist that's kind of straight, Kevin is an awesome person. I know you get emails all the time. But Kevin, if I'm listening, can I reach out to you? Like, what's your email address? Can I just ask?
It kills me. It's one of my purposes. I've always wanted to have an influence and impact on other people. And I love when I get emails and I love when I get phone calls. And there's still people I talked to in the beginning of quarantine that said, hey, I remember when we talked, you changed my life based on that one conversation. And people just need to have the confirmation that they can do it. Yeah. And they need to know that this is something that's possible. And talking to somebody almost allows you to open up the door to yourself to say, I can make a change here to change things and make better. And it took me 5 years. Like 5 years is not a long time, but it is a long time. But if you can do it in your early 30s, you know, imagine the influence it can have on your, when you're 50, 60, you know, whatever it may be later on in life. And, but I'm just so fortunate to have people to lean on. And, you know, I'm standing here because I have so many people that took an interest in me and told me, hey, you can do it, and shared their wisdom and shared their experiences to then inspire me to do it myself. So part of life is passing that on, and I'm happy to be that leverage for somebody else too. People can reach out to me. Email is a great one. Kevin Groth, KevinGroth@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram, just at @DrKevinGroth. Call me. I don't know, 248-229-9380. I don't care. I mean, please reach out. I'm happy to answer anything or reflect on things and hopefully make people better, because that's ultimately what life is about, is just, I want to hear your struggles. You know, I think to be vulnerable and open about that and knowing that there's a better place is a really cool thing. And that's what life is.
Yeah. And I know you're a very balanced, focused human being. I'm just saying this. If you guys have a study club, and you're looking for a great speaker, whether, I know he's probably not going to do a lot of these, but I'm sure he'll do awesome just to have him for a day. Dr. Kevin Groth, he'll give you a lot. You'll be really inspired just by the great stories, frameworks, thought processes. It's awesome. So I highly encourage you to reach out to him. So Kevin, thank you so much. And I know I'm going to have you back many, many times talking about different subjects. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, please just do this. Share this episode with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see on the Best Practices Show. Even with Kevin, I'm going to have him back. He talks about a lot of great things. We will line those things up so that you guys can create a better practice and a better life. But until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.